Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And by the way, Schwab Auditorium was built in 1903. And was renovated. It's been renovated a couple of times, and has been renovated within the last 10 years. But they have closed down Schwab after that incident today. One person received a minor injury, was treated for a cut at Mount Indy Medical Center. Another person was treated at the scene by EMTs and released. But that happened today, about 11:25 this morning. It happened at Schwab. But again, that building was built in 1903. And it's currently closed. They're going through the entire structure now. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have just done a great job of serving their customers for decades because they find the right insurance at the right price. You are not a customer to them. You're much more than that. It's very personal to them. One-to-one coverage. That's at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I mentioned Schwab Auditorium opened in 1903. In 1980, the movie Caddyshack came out this week. It's 35 years old. Caddyshack. Lines from that movie still being recited on the Susquehanna Valley Country Club golf course as we speak. Someone who was not alive when Caddyshack came out, but has watched it many times, I'm sure, is Greg Pickle from PennLive.com. Greg, I'm sure you have.
Yes, absolutely. I had a bowl of soup for lunch today, so this is all timed pretty well.
Thank you, Spalding. All right. It's getting to be that time of the year, that exciting time of the year. We start to feel it a little bit. You put out on Twitter 12 minutes ago.
You didn't think I looked at what you did on Twitter, did you?
Penn State has hits and misses in 2016 recruiting class, looking back at offers, commitments, and more so far on offense. Expand, please, because this is not a 140 character or less show.
Indeed. Well, we sort of looked this morning basically at, well, I guess it's afternoon now, what Penn State's been able to accomplish in its class of 2016. Recruiting is going very well, especially of late. They've been on a roll since May when four-star Michael Manette committed a tackle out of the Reading area, and they've pretty much been on a nonstop roll since. And when you look back at what Penn State was offering and sort of who was at the top of their board at the beginning of the recruiting cycle, when James Franklin and his staff sort of were able to settle down and get the 2016 board in order after getting the 2015 class rolling, they were able to pretty much land all of the top targets that they offered on offense. You look at quarterback, they offered four guys that mainly were their focus. They landed one of them in Jake Zimbick, a four-star now out of New York. You look at running back, Miles Sanders is their guy. He was a four-star out of the Whippoorwill. They offered a couple other guys, but Sanders was one of the, you know, the one, if not one of the ones that they most wanted, and they got him. Receiver recruiting's been kind of slow. That's to be expected. I mean, when you look at the last couple of classes, they only need one guy there, and the top targets there, you know, there's been a couple guys that, you know, maybe they would have liked Justin Lane out of Ohio. He went elsewhere. But Trey Nixon's still on the board from a Florida kid that they'd really like to land, so they're doing just fine there. Tight end was really interesting in this cycle. They looked at two Pennsylvania guys really hard, Kerry Angeline, who picked South Carolina, or USC, rather, mm-hmm. and Nazir Upshur, who is a four-star that was long and interested in Penn State, and the Lions sort of fell in favor with him. So it went from them probably getting both PA guys, actually ended up probably getting neither of them, and they land Danny Dalton, who was once committed to the Boston College, a Massachusetts kid that flipped to Penn State after visiting this spring. And then with the offensive line, yet again, you look at the guys they have there. Connor McGovern, top target committed. Michael Minnett, top target committed. Alex Gellerstedt's a guy that came on in May. They liked what they saw from him in the spring. They offer him. He commits. So, I mean, it's sort of been a nice little role here with Will Fries as well. He pledged the New Jersey offensive lineman. So I mean, all in all, I don't think you can really find too many bones to pick with how Penn State's doing on offense so far. I mean, I think that obviously, you know, they definitely had some offers out to guys they would have liked that went elsewhere, but they haven't lost anything by losing those guys because they've had plenty of eggs to go around, if you will, and they weren't all in one basket. So it's been a really nice start for Penn State on the offensive side of the ball in the class of 2016.
Greg, numbers can be tricky at times, and we've discovered that the last couple of years. How many more can Penn State actually get verbals from that would then turn into signatures in February?
Right. So they're at 18 right now. They're allowed to take 25 by NCAA rule, of course. I have a hard time seeing this class being more than 22, 23. I mean, I think you'd have to have a lot of guys go with a small senior class. You'll probably lose some juniors, some fifth-year guys that could come back but either decide to stop playing football or go to the NFL. But it's hard for me to look at the roster and see a way they're going to free up enough room to sign seven more guys. I think four or five makes sense. I think at the end of the day, this is probably a 22 or 23-man class. Can it get to 25? Yeah, sure it can. But I think most more than likely this ends up as a 22, 23-man class. So four or five guys left, you know, probably to get. And, you know, if for some reason more guys leave than what we're expecting, then, you know, they could certainly get to 25. But 22, 23 sounds about right.
Greg, every coach likes to have their own positional roster balance. This entire thing for the last 3 years has been out of balance, and that's just a reality that is not an excuse. People have to accept there are realities, right? That's one of them. When you start looking at the positional balance of the three recruiting classes in combination, including the one you're talking about that will sign in 16, does that get Penn State closer to being in balance on the roster?
Oh, without question. I mean, you look at how Penn State has sort of been able to survive through the sanctions and the bowls and the loss of scholarships. And one of the areas that's maybe been hit hardest that no one's really talked about or maybe that isn't at the forefront of the conversation is just the fact of how out of balance the roster was. I mean, it's better now. It still sort of is, but it's certainly better than it was two or three years ago. But, yeah, I mean, it was tough there for a while because Penn State had to take commitments from guys that wanted to come here. You know, their numbers got skewed a little bit because they weren't able to land guys at certain positions. So you saw the first replenishment and sort of balancing out come in the secondary. Penn State's really well stocked there. Mm-hmm. I think the next one you're going to see is at linebacker. There's two signed in this class, two signed in the last class. There's three if you count Cole Farmer now. So that's getting there. The offensive and defensive line should be good to go after this cycle between the 2015 class and the 2014 class, or I'm sorry, the 2016 class. That should be good to go. So Penn State's pretty darn close to being back to where it wants to be. Is it ever going to be perfect? No, that's impossible because you're always going to have guys leave early,
right,
guys not pan out and want to transfer. So it's going to be difficult to ever have the ideal balanced roster. But this 2016 class is a big step forward. It's about as close as you can probably get to having a balanced roster in a realistic sense and not an ideal sense. But, yeah, I mean, this is certainly with the way the numbers they've recruited on the offensive and defensive line, you know, this is definitely a group that evens things out. You have one running back, which is good. You have one quarterback. That leaves you able to take two quarterbacks in the next cycle and get that number evened out. Wide receivers in really good shape after the last 2 years. You get one this year. You're pretty good scholarship breakdown-wise. So, yeah, I mean, I think that certainly as long as the guys in this class pan out the way they're expected to, then Penn State will be, you know, inching ever closer back to having a balanced roster.
You've also been writing of late about Penn State and 2017 and things that people should know about 2017 because they are not just recruiting for February of 16. The recruiting for February of 17 is in high gear. What should we know about that class at this point?
Well, I think the first thing that's going to have to be a realization is that it's going to be a smaller than normal class. I mean, again, with the way the roster was imbalanced, it wasn't just imbalanced from a positional standpoint. It was imbalanced from a year standpoint. So you had a lot of guys that, you know, you were really old at one point, and then Penn State was obviously the second youngest team in the country, and what comes with that is less guys leaving. And when you have less guys leaving, you obviously have less room to bring guys in. So, you know, I think this, it really depends on what the 2016 class ends up at before you can really hammer a number down. I think 15 to 20 is probably it for the 2017 class. I have a hard time seeing a whole lot more room than that. So it's going to be probably one of the smaller ones that Penn State has signed in some time. But there's a lot of talent out there. You know, they have a quarterback, Sean Clifford, committed, the four-star out of Ohio. They're in with a couple other quarterbacks. Expect to see Penn State take two of them, maybe a running back, you know, maybe a receiver. But, you know, again, it's a cycle where arguably you can make the case there's more talent in the 2017 class and the 2016 class in Penn State's recruiting footprint, which is the Mid-Atlantic. And, I mean, I don't think you'd get too many arguments, at least, that they're even. I mean, both classes are very talented. The 2017 one is super from that perspective. So I think that, you know, a smaller class, but it's going to be a talented class if things turn out the way Penn State hopes they do, because there's a lot of good kids in areas that Penn State generally is able to get commitments. So something to keep an eye on. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but Penn State has set itself up pretty well with a number of top targets.
You have to be, you know, my experience in this, you know, is that you find that you get pickier because you have fewer numbers. Fair?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. You got to be pickier with who you get. Can't be as wide open as to who you go after.
I'll just say quickly, Steve, that I think that when you look at how Penn State's been doing in that department, they've done well. I mean, they've waited out guys. I mean, there was a hand wringing from the fan base over defensive tackle recruiting because Penn State probably could have locked up a couple guys before they went on their summer run with Michael DeWumford, Christian Colon, and Ellison Jordan. I mean, you know, they probably could have found guys to commit sooner and been done with the position, but they waited out their top target. And at the end of the day, that's the wait for fans is sometimes agonizing, especially in the off season when there's very little going on. But for Penn State, it worked out really well. I mean, I don't think that they could have, you know, figured out a way to find three better defensive tackles than what they did. And that came from patience and being picky about who they wanted and waiting those guys out.
Matt Lehman, former Nittany Lion, from Newport down in the Harrisburg area, got hurt here. He's going to NASCAR. How did that come about for him? He's going to go to the NASCAR Pit Training Center down in Charlotte.
Yeah, that is a unique story. It's one that I popped into Friday. I really haven't been able to dig too much on it quite yet, but I mean, I know that the football players are increasingly being looked at for NASCAR pit crew. The Hendrick Motorsports, who's the crew, I guess you could say, that he's going to, you know, has sort of been the leader, according to stories by Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports, in the department of finding former, college football players and bringing them into, you know, NASCAR pit teams. Obviously, there's a lot of things that carry over from a teamwork and from a physical needs perspective. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how Matt Lehman got hooked up with these guys. He did. And it's unique. And I think that for a guy that, you know, probably realized there was any hope at all in going to the NFL, you know, this is obviously, you know, something that he wants to do, and it's unique, and it's obviously at a professional level. So, I mean, at some point I'll have to run him down and figure out how all of that happened. I haven't been able to yet, but it surely is unique, and it's another thing Penn State, as crazy as this sounds, it's another thing Penn State's able to sell in recruiting. You can sell just about anything in recruiting as long as it's truthful. And now Penn State, by virtue of a, you know, former teach-a-shop/tight end/did-he-fumble-or-did-he-not-fumble player, you know, this guy is now Penn State's connection into the NASCAR world. And I don't know why they would ever need that to sell a recruit on Penn State, but if they ever, you know, if they do, they have it. And you can never have, you know, as we've seen college football recruiting evolve, you can never have enough, you know, bullets in your gun when you're trying to, you know, sell a kid and a family on what they can do after football, what kind of options, you know, and connections you can offer a prospect after his football career at your school is done. And for Penn State, it's just another thing, you know, they can use. And for Lehman, it's a chance to, you know, like I said, do something that, you know, that he clearly has an interest in and obviously, you know, has shown some ability to be good at it. So pretty neat story there.
Yeah, it is. You need strength, you need quickness, and you need the smarts to be in the pit crew. And football provides you with all three, especially a guy like Matt Lehman. Hey, we wish him the best. Greg, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate it very much, my friend.
You got it, Steve. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Greg Pickle, PennLive.com, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Tomorrow, we'll talk about Big Ten news and notes. Let's take a break. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right. The 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word: Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Maureen from Mount Carmel, Gloria from Denmark Gardens, Beau from Lavelle. They're just a few of the winners so far in Shimox Furniture's 100th anniversary giveaway. Shimox is celebrating their 100th anniversary. The 100 days, 100 prizes giveaway is going on now at Shimox. Just stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Prizes will include everything like accessories, including lighting and wall art, to recliners and Serta bedding. Plus, save $100 off the lowest sale price of every in-stock recliner. And Shimox always has great bedding specials. Not to mention expert advice when it comes to bedding that you just can't find on the internet. And of course, 1 year no-interest financing is available. And delivery, setup, and removal of your old item is always included. So come in now and register. Celebrating 100 years of happiness with providing quality brands, good prices, and great service.
100 days, 100 prizes.
Winners like Brian from Eliasburg are posted daily on Shimox Facebook page. Just go to Shimox Furniture since 1915. Shimox Furniture on Route 61 in Comox and at Shimox.com.
Chug into a bygone era at Sunbury River Festival. Their train rides are back on Saturday, August 15th, and just $10 gets you a thrilling ride that will depart from the Daily Item Press Building on Raspberry Avenue. 9 a.m. is the Bets Free Ride with military vehicles on display. 11 a.m. is the Prince Princess Ride, and 1 p.m. is the Dr. Seuss Ride. Get your tickets at the SRI office, McGuigan's Public House, Brewer's Outlet, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Susquehanna River Valley Visitors Bureau, the new Paul Stein Chevrolet, Surplus Outlet, and the Daily Item. And here's a special thank you to the Shikellamy Theater Department for providing all the character actors. For more information, go to SunburyRiverFestival.com. That's SunburyRiverFestival.com.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. The Cole Hamill sweepstakes continues. Rangers and Dodgers appear to be in the lead. Chase Utley could be an Angel by the end of the week. Ben Revere may be going nowhere. And Johnny Cueto, the Reds have already made their big deal, sending Cueto to the Royals for Brandon Finnegan, who was fabulous in the postseason last year. Big-time fastball. He goes to the Reds along with two minor leaguers, and the Royals get what they need in a number one pitcher that you hand the ball to in game one of the series. They thought Ventura would be that guy. He has slumped. They sent him to AAA, but then they had an injury in the staff, so they brought him up in less than 24 hours. Cueto becomes that guy. And like Hamels, not a no-hitter, but like Hamels, his last start with the Reds, he was outstanding. After two previous starts that were a bit shaky, Cueto then pitched really well. That was enough for the Royals. They've got their guy. Scott Kazmir goes to the Astros. They've got their guy. So now we wait. Meanwhile, on a national bid, to be honest with you, the 2024 Olympics, the International Olympic Committee really wants the United States to have this. And Boston was probably a virtual lock to get it. But the whole thing went down the tubes today, and Boston is out. As Gary Nunn explained at the top of the hour, and we explained in the previous hour, Boston is out of the 2024 Olympic Games bidding. Los Angeles probably will become the lead for that. Rome and Paris, I think, are also supposed to bid. The United States has had highly disorganized bids. New York finished last in 2012. Chicago finished last for 2016. Now Boston, and it looked like they were going to, you know, that because of the timing, the U.S. did not put in a bid for the 2020 Olympics. The timing indicated that the United States would be the spot to go to next. But we don't have government-sponsored Olympics. It's not like, you know, who knows how much money Russia lost on Sochi. They, you know, I mean, Russia lost a bundle on Sochi. They don't care. They could care less. Price of oil went from 100 down to 50. They might care a little bit more now than they did a year ago, but, I mean, that's their problem to deal with. Russia is in a recession right now. Russia is in a recession right now. But whatever money they lost, and they lost a bundle on Sochi, they don't care. That's the way their system operates. Our system operates differently. You got to be able to cover your costs. And they had no plan in place that covered the costs. No plan. Okay, the ever faithful, don't worry, the taxpayers will pick it up. No. You can't ask the taxpayers to foot the IOC's bill for a 2.5-week track meet. You can't. If the International Olympic Committee, okay, you want to do it right, pick a spot, build it, and then bring everybody there every 4 years. Very simple. Tax bill out of control, and I can tell you right now that whatever cost they claim it's going to cost to build in 2022, 2023 when they're building this, name the last project that came in under budget. Okay, anybody? Show of hands. It's not going to come under budget. You and I both know it. Common sense. We've lived. We know. These projects don't come in under budget. And Boston is out. And they were doing everything they can. They claim Los Angeles is now the possibility to be picked next. Okay, no offense, but Los Angeles doesn't have anything. They don't have an Olympic stadium. They don't have a track. They have a basketball arena. They've got that. I mean, arena-wise, they've got the Staples Center. They've got the Galen Center at USC. They've got Pauley Pavilion. But, you know, they've got that. Don't have a swimming pool. Look, the IOC ought to take their money and build a winter place and a summer place. And everybody meets there every 4 years. Simple as that. Foot your own bill. Foot your own bill. Hey, stop looking at us and telling us to pay for it.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Find out why. I can tell you why. They treat their customers by name and personally. They find the right price for the right insurance. And We are in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think Shauna O'Connell, state representative in Massachusetts, said it best. We are a world-class state without the Olympics. We don't need to spend billions of tax dollars to prove that fact. If you've ever been to Boston, Boston is a world-class city. When it comes to, it's not a place without its problems. Roxbury has some problems. Combat Zone, not exactly a place you'd ever want to go. But for the most part, Boston is a world-class city with world-class universities. Harvard, across the river in Cambridge, MIT, Boston University, Boston College, Northeastern, Emerson. List goes on and on. It's a great university city. World-class symphony. World-class waterfront. They've got all that. They don't need the Olympic Games to enhance their profile at all. And neither does any city in the United States. Tax dollars should not go to the Olympic Games. Just shouldn't. At all. It's a nice feather in the cap to have, but it, you know, you can't go on and be spending billions on a feather. You just can't. If you want to build, I mean, Robert Kraft built Gillette Stadium. The only thing he asked for when he built, and he built Gillette out of his own money, the only thing he asked for when he did that was $72 million in infrastructure from the state. Now, the state balked initially, and that's why Kraft flirted with Hartford for a period of time. He flirted with them. But then the state came through with the $72 million. Remember, the infrastructure, okay, for the people who travel around that area actually benefits them every single day. Dick in Milton is with us. Hi, Dick. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Hey, I just wanted to get this out there. As much as the sports mean to you guys and everybody that listens, I really wanted to just wish Dave from Sunbury good luck on getting himself healthy. You had that on that first segment. I know he's a faithful listener. And,
yes, he is.
And I always enjoy his calls. That's why I just wanted to get that out there. I mean, the sports are important. Don't misunderstand me. And sometimes they take a second. They have to take a secondary phase in some respects to me, anyhow. But,
well, that's why I think you notice, Dick, that every time I talk to Dave and he brings up something like that, I do take the time to talk to him about it and don't just bypass it. It's because I think it's, you know, individuals are more important than the show. And that's why when he brings up something like that, I don't just bypass it. I want to find out how he's doing. So,
well, I know he appreciates that. I just wanted to get that. Other people will,
Thanks,
they pay attention to it. By the way, I just saw in here a WNEP thing on here, section of the ceiling collapse at the Penn State Auditorium. I'm not sure where the auditorium is, and a couple people were injured.
It's Schwab Auditorium.
Okay, so
it's right next to Old Main and right next to the campus mall. Willard Building's across from it, and Petit is up the mall from where it is. Schwab Auditorium was built in 1903. It's been renovated a couple of times. A piece from the balcony came down. It was a 2x8 piece, and evidently most of it landed in the aisle, but some of it did hit a couple of people that were sitting in seats. One person was taken to Mount Indy Medical Center. Minor cuts, that's how it was described, a minor cut, and was treated and released. He's fine. One person was treated at the scene and then was released. Everybody else was fine. They were having one of those summer days at Penn State Day, and they had 500 people in the auditorium at the time when it happened, and they relocated it to Thomas Building when they were done. But one person had to be taken to the emergency room, but was then released with a cut, and the other person was released at the scene.
So with that many people in there, it could have been a lot more serious than, obviously.
Oh, absolutely. I feel fortunate. And obviously the building's closed, and they're going to go through structurally and make sure everything's okay.
By the way, along with the Olympics, I can't see any city in this day and age spending the money for something like that unless they already have the infrastructure and the arenas and whatever out there. Maybe Los Angeles somebody out there could. They don't have a pro football team. Maybe somebody could get them a team, build a stadium, and host the Olympics. Because it takes a lot.
But you know what? Yeah, well, you know what, Dick? What's ironic about that? Let's take the Coliseum, which is where they hosted the Special Olympics World Ceremony on Saturday night. They took the track out. The track's not even in that stadium anymore. You need to have a stadium with a track.
Yeah, I understand that. You have to have a track somewhere. I mean, I'm not, you know, it's not like it's a marathon. It's not like a marathon run or something.
Right.
They're going to make a long story. Look how much Atlanta spent. I don't even know if they lost money the Summer Olympics. I don't know if they made money, lost money. I have no idea.
Well,
I don't think anybody makes a lot of money on the Olympics.
No. I mean, Russia lost its shirt, but they don't care. It's state-sponsored. So
right.
they were trying to put on a show in Sochi, but they lost a lot of money. And what's even tougher is the price of oil went from about 107 down to, 48 at one point. And that's a major export in the Russian economy because they have oil. And they lost a ton of money, thus they're in recession right now. And you combine that with what they did at the Olympic Games. Remember, Mitt Romney, one of his claims to fame was that he saved the Salt Lake City Olympic bid because they were in deep financial trouble and about ready to be flushed down the drain because of financial problems. And he was able to construct a corporate structure that allowed them to survive it and get through it. And I think they about broke even, I think.
Well, the other thing is, and I just thought about this, is the cost of the security anymore will be exponentially higher.
Oh.
I mean,
just
what's happened since 2001. I mean, I went out to NCAAs at Oklahoma City and in St. Louis. I mean, you didn't get in anywhere without a full body scan, literally. I mean, I can't imagine what it would be like at a place like that.
Yeah,
and with
handguns.
And
exactly right. I mean, you're talking about a city in Boston. This is not out of the ordinary. But the traffic in Boston is immense. And remember, Boston being a city that is up against the water, that means all the traffic there is north, west, and south. There's no place to funnel it to the east. It's the harbor. So,
right. I've been to Boston more than once.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, the traffic is a mess on 93, Mass Pike, 495, 128, Sterl Drive, you name it. It's Commonwealth Avenue. I mean, everything's bumper to bumper. Now you're going to put the Olympic Games in there, and you're going to be scanned going in? Oh, jeez.
Maybe the mayor was smart.
The mayor was smart. You know, but here's the problem. The USOC created its own problem. And the reason they did was they have 7 weeks in order to present the official bid to the International Olympic Committee. They had put a timeline on Boston to have it submitted, I think, by August 15th. And they were pressuring Boston and the state, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, to get it done by the end of this week. And they're looking at him like, what? No, we're not going to do it for you now. Okay, you want it by August 15th. We'll do the best we can by August 15th, but we're not going to give it to you this week. And the USOC kept pressuring, and they finally had enough and said, get out of here. We're not paying for it.
Yeah, it might take them that long to make up a Red Sox game that was rained out.
That's right. If it's the Yankees, yes.
I'm just kidding you. I'll let you go. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. So jump in, and we'd like to hear from you here on the show today. And we thank Dick for his calls. Really nice what he said about Dave, too. Dave from Sunbury. Dave was in the hospital for a couple days, and they put him on a blood thinner, and he said he's doing a little bit better, which was great to hear from Dave at the beginning of the show as well. And it was nice of Dick to pick up on that. So we have a great audience out there. We have a great audience out there that jumps in. Another call, Kyle, or just on hold? Hello, Kyle. Dave called back. Okay, Dave. Dave, it was nice. Dick mentioned you in the previous call. You want to make sure you're doing okay, and Let's see. Other callers care about you, Dave. This is, we have a really family-oriented audience here.
Give me a second, Steve.
Okay, I'll give you a second there, Dave. Cole Hamels.
I'm okay, Steve.
Okay.
All I'll say is thank you to Dick, and I'd personally like to meet him in person.
Well, I hope someday you two will be able to connect. That'll be great.
My twin brother's calling in, so I gotta go.
Okay. Okay, Dave. You tell your twin brother I said hi, all right? Okay. But that was nice. That was nice. I had a chance to really talk with Dick last year at the Bucknell game, basketball game, when I went over to Soika to do that game on that Friday afternoon right after Thanksgiving. It was a real pleasure meeting and talking with Dick. Dick's a huge fan of so many sports. He loves his Orioles and loves his wrestling, loves his Penn State football, but when you make a call like that and the first thing you talk about is a previous caller and you mention something like that where you talk about the fact that you hope the guy's okay and he's doing well, that says something. Okay? Not every call has to be about sports when, you know, Dick has his priorities absolutely spot on. People mean more than any event or anything else we talk about. People mean much more than that, much more. 800-795-9565. We will take a break. Kyle has his feet up anyway, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Your wild is waiting at PennsWilds.com. Discover Pennsylvania's great outdoors through writing that is sometimes serious, sometimes humorous, and always informative. There's Outdoors PA features with the Pennsylvania Game Commission on hunting, trapping, wildlife, and much more. Learn something new that will help with your next hunt. It's brought to you by Ram Trucks. Visit PennsWilds.com, click on the Ram banner, and find your deal on a rugged new 2015 Ram 1500. Explore the wilds of Pennsylvania at PennsWilds.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
If you've always wanted to be the captain of your own vessel, yelling things like, "Hoist the mizzenmaster! Avast, mateys!" Listen up. Here's your chance for families, friends, groups, and organizations to design and build a boat. Beat the heat and have plenty of fun. The Central Pennsylvania Rowing Association, in conjunction with the Sunbury River Festival, is sponsoring the 6th annual cardboard boat race on the Susquehanna River on Saturday, August 15th. Join in the fun. Race your creative and colorful cardboard boat and get ready to get wet. Registration at the Sunbury Amphitheater begins at 1, race starts at 4. Go to sunburyriverfestival.com.
The store is open. Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation brings you Half Price Susquehanna Valley, where you can buy a certificate for half the cost of its value.
This Wednesday at 9 a.m., go online for your $20 gift certificates for only $10 at the Sealands Grove Hotel. Enjoy the daily specials, apps, signature burgers, wings, and homemade dinners in the dining room or out on the patio. Shoot some pool and have good times and great food. Like them on Facebook for entertainment and specials.
Get shopping and save this week at Half Price Susquehanna Valley, only from
WKOK.com.
It's the Dan Patrick Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Roy said, this will be a great place for a major in 20 years. Not now. It wasn't ready. And you get the feeling that
They were ready for something else, couldn't have it at a place, and they decided to go here. I didn't know where the fairway ended, where the green began. It got to the point where it was silly, maybe bordering on embarrassing for the U.S. Open.
The Dan Patrick Show, weekday mornings at 10 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
Join us for the 29th Annual Evangelical Golf Classic, sponsored by Quandell Construction Group. The tournament is Friday, August 14th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. There are morning and afternoon flights available with shotgun starts at 8 a.m. and 1:30 p.m. The tournament is a scramble format and the cost is $125 per golfer. You'll have a chance to win a 2015 Ford Fusion from Selins Grove Ford with a hole-in-one. All money raised will support Evangelical Community Hospital's pre-hospital services. Register today. Call 570-522-4850.
Fun night will be Thursday night at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. And James Franklin will throw out the opening pitch on Thursday night. Just one of the Phillies, by the way, who are red hot. To their credit, the Phillies are red hot. They will be playing in the Atlanta Braves. And not about Aaron Nola getting his first career win yesterday. What a weekend for the Phils. The no-hitter by Hamels in what could be a swan song, and Nola getting his first career win. Since the All-Star break, they played really well. And Ryan Howard and Mikhail Franco went out and had big offensive days yesterday. We'll see how the week plays out. Do you deal Cole Hamels? Do you get what you want in a deal? Are you asking too much? Or are you saying, hey, look, we're asking a lot, but you know what? If we keep him, we keep him. Same thing with Chase. Now, Chase Utley's in a different spot. You already have what you believe to be his replacement out there in Cesar Hernandez. Utley's price is not going to be steep. The Angels are said to be interested in Chase Utley. Okay. I don't know what the Angels can offer, but one thing about Utley is that he has a $15 million verifier for next year if he gets to 500 plate appearances. He will not get there. But that verifier is in place in his contract for the next 3 years. And we'll see what they do with him before the week is out. What do the Tigers do with David Price? Tigers are in a really odd spot. They're not out of it. But they don't have Miguel Cabrera in the lineup right now. Do you hang on until you get Cabrera back in the lineup and get him out there with J.D. Martinez and Ian Kinsler and those guys and keep David Price? I mean, they haven't had a contract negotiation with Price since the spring training. So they're not keeping him. Or do you make the deals and you move him and Yoenis Cespedes? There'll be a lot of people that want Cespedes. Do you do that? I don't know. And something else I touched on in the show earlier, I was talking about grant of rights when it came to, because the Big 12 at their media day, it was not exactly the smoothest operation going. You've already had David Boren, the president of Oklahoma, making his statement, say, look, you need to get back to 12 here. You need to do something to get it back to 12. And because they know where they are. Now, you just can't pick two people out of a hat. You can't pick two schools out of a hat. You can't do that. Because anytime you add teams, it has to be done in such a way where everybody, because you're going to be dividing up the pie 12 ways instead of 10. You have to do it in such a way where you add such value that it then adds to what everybody else is getting. When Nebraska came in as the 12th school, that then allowed the Big Ten to get a championship game, which was worth $24 million a year from Fox. Well, Nebraska added its value right away to the plate. And that's what you need to look at. What value do they bring to the table? And there aren't many schools left out there for the Big 12 to go to. And the Big 12, and everyone talks about grant of rights, the grant of rights. Well, that's accurate. The only conference that does not have a grant of rights on their media, on their television contracts, is the SEC. They don't have that. Everybody else does. Big 10, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, they have it. But there's a way around it, according to one legal mind. There's a way around it. But this is how, in the Omaha World Herald, how the Big 12 was described. And right now, a Big Ten athletic director who spoke to the World Herald on the condition of anonymity said he contacted Big Ten athletic directors and presidents with whom he was familiar with in June of 2010. The topic was the Big Ten, which had 11 members at the time, interested in adding five Big 12 schools? Story says the feedback from the Big Ten school officials was positive, both sources said. The sticking point was devising a revenue sharing plan that would satisfy everybody. And that's always the key. Now, Nebraska didn't wait. They joined the Big Ten. Colorado didn't wait. They went to the Pac-12. Texas A&M and Missouri bolted a year later for the SEC. It says here that people are asking if Bourne really wants 12 members. There are very few qualified candidates right now that jump to mind. Or was he signaling to the league that Oklahoma might listen to an invitation? Or was it a diversionary tactic? Several Big Ten media members said their money is on the league not lasting another decade, and the tension, according to the story, is high in the Big 12. Big Ten administrator in the middle of the main hallway chastised this writer for a column he wrote last Monday about how Nebraska would never return to the Big 12. Too much drama, I wrote, and not enough stability. Writer says he chewed me out for making his conference sound dysfunctional. Writer then writes, if reporting facts about repeated Big 12 missteps leads to that conclusion, then call me guilty. And then he took some shots, by the way, at Steve Patterson, the athletic director at Nebraska, along the way. That he runs the operation a lot like Dave Brandon was running the operation at Michigan. It's a business, and not considered to be very personable with donors. You have to be personable with donors. You have to be personable with fans. You have to. Yeah, I mean, now, I will point out that everybody's personality is different. I'm an announcer. I'm not an administrator. But I have a lot of contact with fans. I will freely admit to you, it is very easy for me to interact and enjoy being around as many people as possible, answering questions, having laughs, and having fun. It's easy for me. I think it's easy for Sandy Barber. It's easy for James Franklin, Patrick Chambers. They like that. Some people aren't like that. But if you aren't like that, you've got to force yourself to be like that. Guess what? You can talk about recruits being the lifeblood of your program. Fans and their money are.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.
CBS News, I'm Gary Nahn. The U.S. Olympic Committee is shopping for a city to host the 2024 Summer Games.